But all right, let's. We pick up on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. We are in the middle of a story. We were in the middle of the story of Abba Umna. Abba Umna was a big tzaddik, and we had mentioned that he did four things. He was a rofe, he was a bloodletter, he was a rofe, and the four things that he did was A, in his bloodletting, he would separate the men from the women, so he had either separate hours or he kept them separate so that it was totally tzanua. He also had this beged that he allowed the women to wear that would prevent him from seeing anything as they had to roll up their sleeves. So he was completely; they were completely covered.
So that's also part of the smear, but it's a second thing.
It's a second thing. The third thing is that he would make it so that he had a very separate and private place for people to pay. And so for those who could pay, they would throw their money into the slot. And the people who couldn't pay would not feel embarrassed about not being able to pay. And he wasn't mechayiv them to pay. And the fourth thing was that for the tzuvah merabanan, for the young tamidei chachamim that he serviced, not only would he not make them pay, but he would actually pay them afterwards in order for them to heal themselves properly. So he was a big tzaddik. And we had mentioned that Abaye, because he was such a tzaddik, he would get the Shalom Aleichem. I think it was every day he would get the Shalom Aleichem from the Baskol. Abaye, however, only got it every Erev Shabbos, and Rava only got it once every Erev Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says that Yom Achad Shadar Abaye Zugad Rabbanan Lemivdike. Abaye was very curious as to what was the greatness of Abba Umna, and so he wanted to test them. So he sent a pair of people, a pair of Rabbanan, to check Abba Umna. So he welcomed, Abba Umna welcomed these rabbis to his house, and he sat them down, and he gave them what to eat, and he gave them what to drink. He had them sleep over with these very comfortable pillows or blankets or what have you at night. Litzafra,
futon.
Maybe it's a futon. It wasn't a futon because it was.
Folded up woolen rugs.
Yeah, woolen rugs. Okay, over rugs. Maybe I thought that they were more like sheets and whatnot. But okay, at any rate, litzafer in the morning, karchinu v'shaklinu, they folded them up and they took them with them. V'kamu v'nafkalu l'shuka, and they went to the shuk with them. V'ashkechinu, and they found Abba Umna in the shuk, and they were holding these, whatever you call them, blankets or sheets or rugs, what have you. And so Amrulay, they said to him, Lishame Mar, how much would you approximate the value of these things are? And so Hechi Shavu, how much are they worth? Amrulay, Amrulahu, he said to them, Hachi Vahachi, it's worth X amount. Amrulay, Vidilma Shavutfe, maybe indeed they're worth more than what you're saying they're worth. So Amrulahu, Bahachi Shaklinhu, no, that's how much I bought them for. Now, it's unclear from the story whether he, at that point, knew that they were his, or maybe he was saying, I had bought sheets or rugs, what have you, like those, for that very price. But at any rate, Amrulay, they said to him, B'metusaminach, B'mayishchadetinan, please tell us, what are you suspicious of? What do you think that, when you see us with these rugs that look awfully like yours, what do you think about us? What are you thinking that we're doing with them? So Amrulay, he said, oh, I'm sorry, I skipped. The fourth line says Amrulahu, he said to them, Bahachi Shaklinu, this is what I paid for them. And Amrulay, they said to him, Didachninu, they're actually yours. Mm-hmm. So at that point, this is what I purchased them for, what I bought them for. Amrulay, they said to him, Didachnihu, they're actually yours. They belong to you. V'shaklunu minachem, we took them from you. You should know. Now,
I don't
how
understand what that means. What are they saying about him? I don't understand that.
They took his sheets.
Wait, but I thought that he gave them to them for his nasa sorfi.
No, he gave them to
use.
He gave them to use, but for the night. b'chorer, that's what's going. He leaves them to, for the night to sleep with. But in the morning, they folded them up and they, you know, they made like it was like a hotel. You know, you take all the towels after the hotel. You take all the towels with you. What?
You take the towels.
Of course not. I don't take the towels with me. It's mamish ganeva. But anyway, that's what people do. And if you're at the Ritz, then you take the slippers too because those are really comfortable.
No, you're allowed to take
those slippers. What? You see the tissue of everyone walking around. It's like
that the Ritz car. Those are the Ritz Carlton slippers. Yeah, yeah. And those are the Ritz slippers.
No, you're allowed anyway. To take those. What does halacha say about all this taking stuff from hotels?
I really don't know.
Yeah, it's also. I think it's also.
Is
what?
Is taking anything else?
How much shampoo do you think you're allowed to take?
For soap or something.
I don't know. Okay. But the shampoos, I think those are mochel on the shampoos, because I think the shampoos are... You probably can take the shampoos.
So you just said...
Those are disposable.
What? How much shampoo?
I mean, they put two or three shampoos. They put two of their things out, so you could probably take those. I mean, I'm not opposed to it, but I think that those are assumed
just
that...
Just the same thing.
Those are... What?
I just the same thing with him.
What?
I said I'm not a rob, but I think you can take it.
Yeah, I think the shampoos you can take and the soaps you can take, but I
okay,
don't
take
think
the towels.
The towels are not disposable. Those are washed and they're used again. So those they're expecting to see again. The shampoos they would probably throw out anyway because they would assume that you've used some of it. Mm-hmm. They're not going to use it again.
Take the pillows.
What do they do about the slippers?
The slippers they probably use them.
They recycle.
Yeah, because they're not like these cheap paper slippers. These are very they're very fancy. I mean, saying at the Ritz, you know, the Ritz.
I don't know what
each time or what.
What? I don't know if they have somebody who cleans it. I don't think they throw it in the wash. They're not like washable slippers. I don't think they are. But I don't know. Good question. I don't know what they do with them. That's a good question. I don't know, Taco. What do they do with the slippers? Do they wash the slippers? Do they have somebody who...
Why would you want to put those slippers on someone else more? You know?
Yeah. I guess you couldn't do that. Especially in the Ritz. You probably couldn't get away with that. All right. It's a good question. What do you do with the slippers? Maybe the slippers are assumed... Good question. Okay. It's a question for Rav Linowitz. Next time I go to the Ritz... I'm calling Rav Linowitz to ask him if I can take their slippers. I think he's going to think badly of me, but I don't really care. Anyway, Amr Lay, he said to him, please tell me, what did you suspect us of when we told you that these are actually yours and we took them? What were you thinking?
They were yours. Oh, they knew they were his, and he knew they were his. Why do they have to say they're yours?
It's unclear as
he
to whether it's unclear.
The beginning.
Yeah, he might not have known in the beginning that they were actually his. When they asked him, "Can you please evaluate the value of these rugs or what have you?" He might not have known at that time.
Before they encountered each other, you know, it's possible they could have bought these things. And,
for sure.
Which were much like
the ones exactly. So it's unclear as to whether at that point. Before they told him that they were his, it's unclear whether he actually knew that they were his. But at any rate, Amar Lehu, he said to them, Amina, I figured pidyon shvuyim iklulahu l'rabbanan. I figured you guys had pidyon shvuyim. You had to get prisoners out of captivity, and you needed a big ransom for that. So you took my rugs. And you were embarrassed to tell me that was the reason why you took them. So I had allowed it. Amrulay, so they said to him, well, hashta nishkalinu, now you can take them back, because now you know the truth. Nishkalinu mar, let the master take them back. And Amrulahu, he said to them, miahu shaita, at the moment that I thought that you guys took him for pidyon shvuyim, as chasinhu mi daitai litztaka, I had already had hesach hadas, I had already kind of written them off, so to speak, right? As a little accounting terminology for you,
yeah.
I had written them off for you. I had written them off for tztaka. Therefore, in my mind, they were out of my rishus. So that was the greatness. That was the greatness of Abba Umna. Meaning, even with his expensive rugs, he was mochel. What?
He'll get a sifar being v'sheish kapara.
Yes, exactly. What comes out of this Gemara, really, the purpose of this Gemara is that if you have pidyon shvuyim, you can take the slippers from the Ritz. I think that's what comes out of this Gemara.
You're going to reach right,
but you didn't finish, because it says that... but the rabbis were embarrassed to tell me about it.
Where are you?
I'm on the same page, meaning that they took the They took the carpets rather, or the blankets, rather than telling Abba that they needed the money for, you know, this is what he's thinking. Okay. And, okay. So, right. All right. Go ahead.
All right.
I'm sorry.
No problem. Havakachal shadayte de Rava. Now, Rava was very, had chalisha sadas. He was very depressed. Mishum da abaye. Because, you see, Rava got the bas kol only once a year. Erev Yom Kippur, but Abaye got it every Erev Shabbos. So Rava was very upset. He was depressed that Abaye was getting it more than. Of course, Rava and Abaye were contemporaries. They were bar pluktas. They would often learn together and argue together. And so Rava thought that why should it be that Abaye, who is really on my madrega, why should he get it more often? So Amrulay, they said to him, "Mistayach, it should be enough for you, the Kamagnes Akula Kuracha, that you protect the entire city. So you have this chosim yourself. You have this chosim that you're protecting the entire city with your mitzvahs, with your Torah. So you know everybody has their thing.
Abaye or Abba Huna?
And neither. Rava. Strike three.
No more questions.
All right, we get another two stories until the two dots. And what I can be mayor from these stories, I will be mayor. I will bring up. I don't have really great answers, but these are some very interesting gemaras, and you can tell me your thoughts after this. Rabroka Choza, Rabroka from Beifuzai, from a city called Choza. Havashchiach b'shuka the Beilefet. He frequented the shuk of Beilefet, right? Beilefet. He was a lefty. He was a liberal.
Okay? Don't say that.
Havashchiach Eliyahu Gabei. Eliyahu was very Havashchiach Eliyahu Gabei. So Rav Broka Choza was a very very big tzaddik, and he had. He had Eliyahu visited him many times. Right? Eliyahu visited him many times. So Amr Leh, so Rav Broka said to Eliyahu, Ike Bahai Shuka Bar Alma Da'asi, is there in this shuk somebody who deserves Olam Haba? Is there anybody who is deserving of Olam Haba in this shuk? Amr Leh said to him, Lo, there is nobody in this shuk who is deserving of Olam Haba. Adahachi Vahachi, meanwhile, Chazilahu Gavra Dahavasiya Misani Uchme Vilarami Chuta de Techlasa Bigileme. He saw somebody at the corner of his eye. He saw somebody who was wearing black shoes or was wearing black laces. It's unclear. And he did not have tzitzis on. L'chore, it wasn't that he had four-cornered garment without tzitzis, but that he wasn't wearing a four-cornered garment, b'chlal. At any rate, he saw this man who had two things that were odd about him. One was that he was wearing black shoes, which is odd for the Jewish people of that time, because normally they wore white shoes for whatever reason. And also that they, of course, wore tzitzis, and he wasn't wearing any tzitzis. And Amr Leh, Eliyahu said to him, you should know, Hai Bar Alma Da'asi Hu. This guy is a Bar Alma Da'asi. He is an Olam Habanik. So Rohit Basrei. So Rav Broka ran after this guy, because he was incredibly curious as to how can it be that this guy manages to get himself into Olam Haba. Amr Leh, Mayuvdach, what do you do? Tell me, what are your maisim?
He's an Egged bus driver.
He's an Egged bus driver. There you go, exactly. Amr Leh.
He's not asking his mitzvah, he's asking his...
He's asking, what? How is it that you are Zocha? Yeah, your maisim tov, how are you Zocha? Amr Leh, Zilho Idna V'Salam Achar. He said to him, go away now and come back tomorrow. Okay? He leaves him off on a cliffhanger. It's a cliffhanger he's given him. So Lamachar, the following day, Amr Leh said to him, Nu, Mayudach, what do you do? Amr Leh, he said to him the following, Zandukna ana, I am a prison guard. The Asarna Gavri Lechud V'Noshi Lechud, and I make sure in my duties to keep the men separate and the women separate. Ramini Puraya Bain Hani Lahani, and I place a bed between one and the other. Now, when it means bed, it doesn't mean like the beds that we have. I think back then, the beds that they used to have, often for their homes, they used to have this really big, spacious area, maybe much like you would see here, and they would kind of separate the rooms with these beds, because these beds weren't flat on the ground. These beds were like kind of tallish. They had these kind of the posts of the bed made the bed tall, and so the bed actually separated between one room and the other, and so you can have one big room that's separated by these beds that are working as a mechitza of sorts. At any rate, he would use these beds as a separation between the men and the women in his jail cell, in his duties. So, Raminu Pariah ben Hani Lahani Kihechid Laleso Lide Isura, so that nobody comes to any Isser, so that the men are not coming in contact with the women, or that the men are not even looking, gazing at the women. Kihazina Bas Yisrael the Yavi Nachri Allah Inayhu. When I see that a Bas Yisrael has is being looked at by the Nachrim, by the non-Jews, Masarna Nafshai, I am Moser Nefesh, Umasilna La, and I save the women. Yomachad, one day, Havaznara Murasa, there was an engaged young lady, Gabon, by us in the jail. I don't know what she was doing in the jail. Maybe she was jaywalking, or maybe she was not paying her taxes. I have no idea. Tayavu Banachri Menayhu. Anyway, she doesn't say what she was doing there. Now she does not say. Right? She doesn't comment about this. Nara Murasa. I don't even know why it's relevant that she's a Nara Murasa. But at any rate, the Yavu Banachri Menayhu. The Nachrim had placed their eyes on them. And Shakli Durudaya, the Chamra, what I did was I took the sediments of wine, Vishadila Bishipula, and I threw this wine on the hem of her dress. And Amri, Va'amri, and I said, Distanahi, she is a Tmeya. She has she's bleeding. So it makes her less desirable in their eyes. And that's how I was, that's what I did.
He created that.
Yeah, exactly. So he made it so that they wouldn't cast their eyes on her any longer.
Of course, what did she think he did?
I don't know. Maybe she was sensitive to it and she appreciated it. Maybe she didn't appreciate it. I don't know. You'll have to ask her. So then Rav Broka said to this man that he saw, he said, "My time less lachuti veramis misani uchmi. Now tell me, why is it that you're not wearing tzitzis and why is it that you wear black shoes? This is very atypical." So Amarle said to him, "Ayalna v'nafikna beni nachri, because I go and come amongst non-Jews. In order that they don't know that I am a Jew, kihavu gazri gezerta, when they make zeros against Klal Yisrael, modanel hu l'rabbanan, I immediately tell the rabbanan about these gezeros. So boy rach mimuvatli l'gezerusaihu, and the rabbanan are therefore able to nullify these gezeros right away with their tefilos.
The Mossad agent.
He's a Mossad agent. He's a secret agent man. I will have David is giving lessons in Secret Agent Man song after the shir. Would you like to sing it for posterity? Okay. My time ki amina lach. Now he says back to him, Rav Broka says back to him, "My time ki amina lach ana my uvdach ve'amart li zil ho'idna v'salamach." Now when I asked you, what is it that you do? You said, "Come back later, not now." So Amr Leis, he said to him, "Why?" Because Biahi Shaita, at that very moment, Gazri Gezerta, the Nachrim, the non-Jews, had made a Gzera. Vamina Bereisha, and I said in the beginning, I said Bereisha Izel. I said, first I'm going to go Ve'eshma Luhul Rabbanan, and I'm going to notify the Rabbanan immediately about this Gzera. Dilaboy Rachmi Allah. Demilsa, so that they would be able to daven about this matter and get it nullified. So that's why I told you to come back later, because I was osik b'mitzvah. So that's the end of that story when it comes to this man. It's a kind of a very peculiar type of story.
But I can see you can learn certain things out of it.
So. You can definitely learn certain things out of it, no question about it. Some ha'aras about it, without getting too involved, is that he mentioned to him that he, when he sees in his cell, he sees the men and the women, or the men casting their eyes on the women. He says the phrase, "Masarna nafshayu matzilnala." I am moser nefesh to save her. I'm moser nefesh to save the women. What's interesting is when he tells the other story about what he does, that he walks among the non-Jews and he wears black shoes and he doesn't wear tzitzis because he's walking among the non-Jews and he doesn't want for them to know that he's a spy so that he can tell the Rabbanan about these evil gzeros. I would think that's a massive mesiras nefesh. But he doesn't mention I'm moser nefesh in that case. He only mentions the mesiras nefesh legabe, his job. What happens in his job.
Oh,
so maybe you'll say, maybe I would say the Kavod say Kavachomer. But he doesn't say that. He doesn't say I'm Moser Nefesh. He only says I'm Moser Nefesh when it comes to what he does with men and women. Okay, I don't know. Maybe it's Lav Dafka. Maybe it's Lav Dafka. Maybe it's not. What is the definition of Mesiras Nefesh, Lamaisa? What is the definition of Mesiras Nefesh? Does Mesiras Nefesh mean that you're doing this incredible act of whatever it is, this incredible mitzvah? Is it something that... What is Mesiras Nefesh exactly? How do we define that? Perhaps Mesiras Nefesh is simply going above and beyond the call of duty?
L'shem Shemayim. By not wearing tzitzis?
He's saving the Jewish people.
In order to protect Amisar.
You'd have a square garment, you wouldn't be a chayav tzitzis anyway.
We're not talking about that. I'm not talking about being over or mevato or mitzvah sase. No. I'm saying, but by not doing the mitzvah sase, even though he has a very good reason...
You can to protect Klal Yisrael, you'd be able to violate an
Issur. Saying Mesiras Nefesh, so right. Mesiras Nefesh is he losing a certain schar, even though he's getting a different schar.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Is he like trading?
It's a good deal. Don't worry about it.
It's a good deal.
He's getting a much bigger scar.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into that.
Represents all the mitzvahs.
Yeah, but you were asking the question. Why did he say it was Mesiras Nefesh for the women, and yet he didn't say that for the fact that he's spying, you know, to tell the Rabbanim about any gazeres?
What do you think?
Okay, so he's being humble.
Yeah.
You know, he's not, you know, he's saying stam what he did, what happened, but he's not embellishing it.
He's not embellishing it.
You know, he's being.
So why does he embellish what he does with the women?
He's being humble.
Why is he embellishing and saying I'm Moser Nefesh with the women? Why doesn't he say why doesn't he leave out the whole Mesiras Nefesh? What's this Mesiras Nefesh with the women, and why is that Mesiras Nefesh?
Well, he's asking. You know, the other guy's asking, what does he do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so. You know, he's saying what he does on his job.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, that's one of the things that he does. Okay, to prevent the men and women from
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever.
Okay. I don't know. Could be. I'm just raising that as a point. Okay. The other thing, what's also interesting about this story is that he didn't offer when Reb Rocha Choza asked the Tami, "What are your ma'asim? What is it that you do that you deserve such a high, you know, honor of being a Ben Olam Haba?" So he said, "I'll tell you what I do. I separate the men and the women." Okay, but he didn't offer the fact that he was the spy and that he was saving Klal Yisrael. It was only after Reb Rocha asked, "Well, why is it that you don't wear tzitzis and you wear black shoes?" that he said, "Oh, that's because I'm a spy and I don't want the non-Jews to know about it."
he didn't want to let people to know about know that he was a spy. So he was.
Maybe, but if he didn't want people to know that he was a spy because he didn't want to give away his cover, he wanted to blow his cover, then he would just tell them, I like black shoes. I shop at a very expensive shoe store. I don't know. I mean, he'd say something else.
I'm the Jew.
Anyway,
yeah, he knows that this is another. He knows this is another yid.
He knows it's another yid. Vade knows it's another yid. He's got to keep on. He's got a velvet yarmulke. He's wearing velvet.
Saying,
this is RBS.
You know, I'm saying he's not blowing. He knows he's not blowing his cover.
Give him.
What?
He knows he's not blowing his cover.
He knows he's not blowing his cover. Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. He knows he's not blowing his cover. So I'm saying I don't understand exactly. I'm saying it's interesting in the story why he never offered really. He never offered that at all. It's only because Reb Broka asked afterwards, by the way, why don't you wear tzitzis and wear black shoes? And he said, oh, that's because I'm a spy. But that's like not even the story. Like, that's not why I'm deserving Olam Haba. I deserve my Olam Haba because of what I do in my day job. Anyway. All right. Could be right, could be wrong. You don't have to like it. Says that,
yeah, but he's being humble in that sense, because the reality is
he's being humble.
The reality is that as great as it is that he's separating men and women,
yeah,
it's greater that he's in a position.
Of course, Vada. Vada. Okay, now. Okay. Meanwhile, Asu Hanach Trei Achi, there were two brothers that came along. And Amar Lei Eliyahu Anavi says to Reb Broka, Hanach Nami Bnei Ma'al Medasi Ninhu. These guys are also Bnei Olam Haba. They also deserve a fair share in the world to come. Azit Lagabayu, so he went to them. And Amar Lahu, he said to them, well, it's interesting also, by the way, You can take it or leave it, I don't know. But in the previous case, when Eliyahu told him this guy is the Ben Olam Haba, it says Rohat Basrei. He ran after him. In this case, it's only Azal Legabayu. He went to them. I don't know. I don't know why in the first case he ran, in the second case he didn't run. Maybe he was tired of running already. So he's like, you know what, I'm just going to go. Anyway, Amar Lahu, he says to them, Mayuv Daichu, what is it that you guys do that you're so deserving of Olam Haba? And Amr Lehi said to him, famously, there's a famous Gemara, they said to him, Inshi beduchi anan, we are happy people, mevadchina natsivi, and we make sad people happy.
That's very important.
Very important. Very important, so important.
State of mind is very important.
State of mind is incredibly important. State of mind is incredibly important.
Clowns.
What?
Clowns. That's what clown does.
Yeah. What? It's a clown. Exactly. It's a clown's.
You can't create a state of happiness in your doom.
Yeah.
Everyone around you is doing good.
Exactly. 100%. Atzvus is very bad. The Ale Shur in his Sefer, in one of the very last chapters, he writes about Simcha. And he writes Simcha. And then he says, below Atzvus, exclamation point. That's one of the only times in Ali Shor where there's an exclamation point. There should be no Atzvus. Should always be happy. Interestingly enough, Simcha itself is not a mitzvah, but it could very well be that Simcha is a chelek in every mitzvah. And if you're not besimcha when you're doing the mitzvah, you're not really mekayim the mitzvah b'shleimusa. And that is a reason to be sad. Get it? Says the Gemara Inami. Also, ki chazinan beitrei, when we see two people de islahu tigra ba'adaihu, when they're fighting, tarchinan vavdinan lahu shalma, we do go out of our way. We're mitareach ourselves to make shalom between them. So this is an interesting story. Also, the first case, what made Ben Olam Haba was that he was moser nefesh between the women and the men, that they should be separate. Here they were tarchinan, they were also mitareach. There's also a lashon of mesiras nefesh in what they do. At any rate, those are interesting gemaras. There is what to be said.
Mesiras nefesh here.
I don't know.
They have a certain talent. They're using it.
Well, they have a talent in making people happy, but the talent in being mitareach and making making amends between men, that's not an easy thing. I mean, that's not always easy, as you know, when people get into arguments, and that's very, very difficult to make peace. Very, very difficult. And so that's what they did.
They're doing it through their comedy, right?
They're not doing it through their comedy, no. They're not. Their sketches are strictly limited to making sad people happy. That's what they do. That's what they go on Conan for. Al elu masrin b'chol makom. The following says the Mishnah. Al elu masrin b'chol makom. On the following cases is where you're masrin, meaning that you daven at any rate. Tana rabbanan. Al elu masrin b'chol makom. In the following cases, they would be masrian. They would daven. Alashi dafon vali rakon. If there was strong dry winds, vali rakon, and there was a changing of the crops, changing color, val arbe v'chasil, val chayra. And when there was locusts, and there were chayos ros, and there were wild animals, which we will discuss further in just a few lines, exactly what would constitute a chayah ra, and in what cases a chayah ra we would daven over and we would fast. Rabbi Akiva Omer, al shidafin vali yirakon, when it comes to the winds and it comes to the changing of the tvua, the chol shehu, that means any amount, even if you see just one kernel of wheat that is turning color, that is a reason to be masriya. Arbe v'chasil afil lo nira be'eretz Yisrael ela knaf echad masriya nalehen. And when it comes to locusts, different types of locusts, even if you only see one knaf, meaning one locust itself, that is a reason to be masriya. Why? Because if you see one, there are bound to be many more along the way. They do not fly alone. So if you see one, there are likely many others to follow, and so that is a reason to be masriya.
This is not a joke, but since locusts are supposed to be kosher, couldn't it be that you would celebrate by seeing locusts?
Locusts are kosher?
I thought locusts were kosher.
No, some
I thought those are grasshoppers. Chagavim. No?
Are considered like a kind of...
Certain types of grasshoppers.
A certain type of kosher grasshopper.
What? I don't know.
I could be wrong.
At any rate, what did you want to say? Let's assume that you're right. What do you want to say?
Couldn't you...
What's your point,
maybe,
son?
You could say, you know, yummy food and have a party and not have a tannis about it. Because on the one hand, if you leave them alone, they're dangerous. They'll eat up everything. But if you take care of them...
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Maybe
it's stupid, but...
How are you going to catch millions of locusts before they eat all the crops?
Millions of exactly. What, are you going to wait until millions of locusts just bombard your crops and then say, well, I guess I can't catch them anymore, so, yeah, let's do that. Valchaya v'chule. I don't know what... I don't know the answer. At any rate, on a chaya, we also... We also are Masriyan. Tana Rabbanan. Chaya ra'a she'amru. When they speak about a chaya ra'a, bizman shehi mishulachas, when it is, quote-unquote, sent. What does it mean that it's sent? Meaning that it is divinely sent. Meaning it is specifically sent by Hashem. When these chayos ra'os are sent by Hashem, then Masriyan aleha. That is reason to daven over them. Eina mishulachas, but they're not, when they're not sent by Hashem, then then you don't have to daven about them. How are you supposed to know? That is the subject of the next 15 lines of the Gemara. Ezuhi mishulacha, says the Gemara. How are you supposed to know what's divinely sent and what is not? So the Gemara gives you a certain criteria, and the Gemara will give you a number of criteria, and then it will analyze these criteria, and we'll see that it is not so pashut. Says the Gemara, Niris ba'ir mishulachas. If you see those chayos rolls in the city, then it's divinely sent. Besada ein mishulachas. But in the fields, no. That's normal. Biyom mishulachas. If you see it during the day, it's divinely sent. Balayla ein mishulachas. But at night, that's when they come out. That's when the jackals come out. Rasa shnei b'nei adam. If it sees two people, v'ratzasach arehen, and it nevertheless chases the two people, mushulachas. That is a divinely sent chayah ra. Why? Because normally the chayos ra, when they see people in packs, in pairs or in packs, they're not going to chase them because they have enough sense to know
these,
that they're
wild
not
dogs would attack people alone when they're alone.
Uh huh. When they're what?
These wild dogs, I don't know if they're still around. They were about a year ago.
Yes.
They would attack people when they're alone.
Correct.
And at night. And
dogs alone?
Hmm?
When the people are alone.
When the people are alone.
When people are alone.
The dogs
yeah.
were in a pack and the people were alone.
Correct.
So they were in a mishulach.
Exactly, exactly. That's why they advise people to go in packs.
Yeah.
In groups.
To go in groups.
Can I have a class sister was attacked?
Your kid, a kid in your class is what?
Sister.
Sister, okay.
He was attacked by 7 wild dogs.
There you have it. I mean, if a kid in his class, his sister was attacked, that's, I don't know, what does that mean? So what do you want to say about that? You just want to tell us
no,
a story.
No, it's that, so what's the thing here? You have to, that's like a tennis. It's like it happens all the time.
So we'll have to see, this Gemara, but where was it? This was in the city or it was in the fields?
In the city.
It was in the city? Day or at night?
Night.
So we said nighttime is the time when they normally come out anyway. So that's not a reason to... That's just... Your friend's sister was just not being very smart. What was she doing at night? What?
It's not her fault. You heard these stories about people go to the bus early in the morning... And the dogs are still out, like towards the end of the night.
Uh-huh.
So
right.
when these,
all right.
these ladies go jogging, there's 7 of these dogs.
Give them some of that red poison meat.
This
I haven't heard about that in a while. I think something happened.
Arsenic, you know.
I don't know. I don't know.
I hope so.
Solve their problem.
You have tracks.
Nechbeis, if the animal hides mipnehen enu mishulachas, then it's not divinely sent because that's very typical for them to do. Tarfa shnei bnei adam va'achla echad mehen, if it kills 2 people and eats only 1 of them, then mishulachas. That is a divinely sent chayra. But achla shnehen, but if it eats both of them, then ena mishulachas. It's not divinely sent. It just means they're hungry. Also lagag, if it went up to the roof, we'll see exactly what this means. It went up to the roof of a house. L'chora, it means it went up to the roof of a house. V'natlo tinok me'arisa, and it took a baby from its crib. Mishulachas, that is a divinely sent animal. So these are all the criteria that the Gemara mentions about what constitutes a chaya ra mishulachas or not, where we would have to daven, we have to be masriya for this. So these are all the different criteria. But now the Gemara is going to present one against the other, and in so doing, we will see that this is not so simple. Says the Gemara, Haguf Akasha. This brisa itself is a question in and of itself. Because Amar Nirisa, Ba'ir. You said Nirisa, Ba'ir. If it's seen in the city, Mishulachas is considered divinely sent. That sounds like Loshna B'yom V'loshna B'layla. That sounds like it doesn't matter whether it's day or night. But V'lehadar Amar, but then you just said B'yom Mishulachas B'layla and Mishulachas. So make up your mind. What is it? Is it if you see it in the city no matter what? Or is it dependent on the time of day that you see it? So the Gemara says Lokasha. It's not a question. Hachi Kamar, Nirisa Be'ir. If you see it in the city, B'yom, during the daytime, Mishulachas. Be'ir b'layla ain't a mushulachas, but if you see it in the city at nighttime, it's not mushulachas because it could even find itself in the city at night. It could be wandering. It could be in the city, and that's not atypical. Inami or basada afilu b'yom ain't a mushulachas. Any time in the field, even if it's during the day, you can see these wild animals, these wild dogs in the fields. That wouldn't be atypical, even if it's during the daytime, because that's what they do. Adam, if it sees 2 people, and it runs after them, mishulachas, then that's considered, as we said in the Braisa, that's considered sent by Hashem. Ha-omedes, that implies that if it's not running after the 2 people, but it's just standing still, enu mishulachas, that is not divinely sent. That's a typical behavior of an animal. But vahadur amar, but then you said, if it's nichbeis, if it hides, mipnehen, because of these 2 people, enu mishulachas. That's not considered mishulachas, which implies ha'omedes, that if it stands still, instead of hiding, mishulachas. So which one is it? What is it? Do you say that if it's hiding, would you say that if it's standing still, it's considered mishulachas, or is it enu mishulachas? So the Gemara says again, lo kasha, kan besada hasmucha la'agam, kan besada she'ena smucha la'agam. If it's near in Agam, which is a swampy land, So a swampy territory, that is a very natural habitat of these animals. And so therefore, if you find it in a sadeh that's smucha la'agam, so then the fact that it's standing still is eina mishulachas. That's very, very typical, because it's not going to, it doesn't feel the need to hide or anything. But if it's not smucha la'agam and it's standing still, that's kind of atypical, because it should be hiding. If it kills two people, the achla echad mehan, and it only eats one of them, mishulachas, then it's mishulachas. Shnehem, but if it eats both of them, ainu mishulachas, it is not considered mishulachas. So you want to tell me if it kills two people and eats one, it's mishulachas. V'ha amar tafilu ratzasa. You said, wait a minute, you just said before, even if it just chases them. Now you're saying it's only if it eats both of the people that's considered mishulachas. Before you said it, if it runs after it, it's mishulachas. So amar Rav Papa says, it depends. Kitani yahi. When did we say that if it eats the two people, or sorry, if it eats one person, if it eats one of the two people, that's considered mishulachas, but not if it just runs after it, when is that? That's ba'agma. That's in the agam itself, in the swampy land. That's its habitat. If in its habitat it's eating one of the two, that's very, very strange. If it runs after them, that's not strange, because that's its land. So what are the two people doing in the agam itself, which is where the animals dwell? The fact that the animals are running after them is not abnormal. But the fact that it only eats one of the two is very abnormal, because that's agma, that's its place. Okay, the Gemara finishes off. We will stop after this line. Gufa. Going back on that brisa, the Gemara said, also legag v'natla tinok me'arisa mishulachas. If this animal manages to climb the roof, and it takes a tinok, it takes a baby from the roof, or from the upper, whatever it is, from the aliyah, and it takes it from its crib, that's considered mishulachas. So the Gemara says, pshito, well, obviously that's mishulachas. That's crazy for an animal to be doing that, to be going onto a roof and taking a baby out of the crib. Crazy for somebody to be putting a baby in a crib on a rooftop. But at any rate, that is pshito. Of course it's going to be mishulachas. It's completely abnormal for... What? Sukkis. On sukkahs. On sukkahs, what, you're putting it on top of the sukkah?
No, I see a lot of sukkahs on top of the building.
Top of the building, sukkah on top of the building. Okay. All right, could be. An economy.
We said the animal climbed on the roof. We didn't say that the crib was on the roof.
Well, how did it take the baby?
It then went through a window or something.
Went through a window, so it climbed on top of the roof and then went through the window. It's a very clever animal. Okay. Could be. Could, yeah, it's very possible. It's very possible. It's very possible. Okay, I don't think we're talking about an eagle, though. We're talking about a chayyur rabba. I don't think we're talking about eagles here. Because if we're talking about a flying animal, then the fact that it goes on a roof is not a chiddush at all. We must be talking about a type of animal that, you know, that climbing is at least a little bit unusual. But at any rate, the Gemara says that's pashut. So Amar Rav Papa says, no, kekuchi detzaidi. Kukuchi detzaidi. We're talking about a case of a kukuchi detzaidi is like a hunter's ditch. Okay, the hunters, they used to dig these ditches, these trenches inside the ground, so that the animals that they were hunting wouldn't see them. And this hunter wasn't very bright, and he took his baby along with him and made this little makeshift house for the baby, and hung the baby's crib on top, or little whatever it is, a car seat on top of this little makeshift house that it made, and
swing him around.
And nevertheless, says the Gemara, if the animal goes on top of that, it's nevertheless considered to be mishulachas. It's considered to be unusual for the animal, even in this setting where you're kind of out in the field, and it's not that unusual for the animal to be out in such a field. Nevertheless, the chiddush is that if it's going on top of this makeshift rooftop or whatever it is to take the baby, that is nevertheless considered mishulachas. So we will stop here and pick up on Thursday, Mitzvah Shem. Okay.